Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Raisin Bran? You got to put Raisin Bran up there. Everybody knows it.
It's Mike Shope.
Listen, get your own stupid old dying person team and choose your own cereals.
And the Bulldog.
I shall unleash my fury upon you like the crashing of a thousand waves.
That cereal is soggy. You reach into the fridge for the milk and open the lid on the milk to pour it in there, and that crap is already soggy.
I am untethered, and my rage knows no bounds.
That's a problem for a cereal,
I think.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Happy Friday. You got a draft take for us. We're here for it. 803-0550. I mentioned I do this a lot. Which is bad. I mentioned a player. Oh, you got to hang around because I want to talk about this one player. And then I didn't mention who it was. But I, at least this time, remembered before the show was over.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas.
Right.
You do not hear very much about Michael Thomas. Who, when? It's too long ago to matter. That's really maybe what the league is saying.
Yeah.
Was the most productive wide receiver in the game, if not the best. 2019 for New Orleans. He led the NFL in catches back-to-back years, 18 and 19, with Drew Brees. 149 catches, 1,725 yards, an average of 107.8 per game in 2019. 2020 hurt, 2021 missed the whole year, hurt. Then limited the last 2 years. He is 31 now. And apparently the NFL doesn't care about him because nobody seems interested at all. And the Bills are not the only team that have room, to put it one way. But
he gets somewhere after the draft, June, July, whatever. He's a receiver version of Leonard Floyd. This offseason, one year, prove it. Let's see if you can stay healthy. Maybe you can show up here and catch 50 or 60 passes for us. I don't know. Maybe you can hope for more than that. Whatever. He'll get somewhere. I would guess that I wouldn't mind if the Bills took a flyer on him. We'll see what they come out of the draft with. That could change my opinion. Sitting here right now, though, the guy, I got time. I always will have time for a guy who's had a rough go, if it's health-wise or whatever, but has been great, you know, what's the downside? You know, I'm not going to guarantee you a lot of money. You don't swing any kind of a hammer if you're in that position. You're just looking for an opportunity to sort of reestablish that you can play in the league and continue your career and maybe even make, you know, much more money a year or two from now. It gets tougher and tougher at the age. You said he's already 31.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not really in the window for him. But still, I think he, if he wants to play, I think there will be a place for him. Some team will take a flyer on that and say, like, let's just see if we can make it work.
As long as he wants to do it.
Right. That's He's got to want to do it. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind either, because I think at this point, it has to be low risk for Thomas. Like, I can't imagine there's much demand out there if he's not. There are no rumors about him that I'm aware of.
He does not get even... I mean, Beckham was coming off injuries. He wasn't 31 years old. But, you know, it had been a while since he'd been a good, you know, a productive player in the league. And he got, $15 million last offseason from the Ravens. That is not happening for Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas is getting, like, a one-year deal worth up to $7 million or something with a base salary of $1 million or whatever. Like, you got to make my team. And if you catch some passes, then you might make some money. Like, that's... I think at this point, what a guy like that gets on the market, I would think.
You want to talk about Beckham?
Nah, I'm not interested. I mean, we can talk about him, but that's my opinion at this point is that the year he had in Baltimore, it almost feels like I fell for something by investing so much time and energy into talking about him for two off seasons. Because that's how long it goes back, right? Von Miller showed up and was like, oh, yeah. He's coming. And that entire offseason, and then season went by without him being on a team even.
He didn't play at all.
Finally gets back and gets, you know, a respectable payday for a one-year deal to go to Baltimore. And what did he catch, 35 passes?
Exactly 35 passes.
I don't know, man. I guess you could say the same thing about him that I'm saying about Thomas. But that's a big drop, and he was relatively healthy, right?
Yes, I think so.
So it's not like he's coming off injury. I don't know if a guy like that is going to be humble enough to take, the sort of contract I just described for Michael Thomas. If he were, I mean, I guess maybe I'd listen to it. But I just feel like that's really cooled off. Maybe he's not anywhere near what he once was, and last year tells you that he played a lot of football on a great team and didn't do a whole lot. So it's a little different than Thomas, because he was healthy and not productive, whereas Thomas's problem has been being healthy.
Ankle injuries. I think the Bills are kind of right for someone like Michael Thomas, in different ways. Contender. Definitely have room. Big body. Like, if he can do it.
Yeah, right.
If he's healthy, you would think that there's real upside. Just never hear a word about him. 803-0550 to join us. We're watching the Masters. It's windy.
It is really windy. I've never watched golf from North America where sand has been blowing up out of sand traps into players' faces. Like, there are guys on greens, like, shielding their eyes, having to step away because there's, like, these little mini dust bowls blowing up out of the sand traps. That's how windy it is. Like, I say North America because, you know, you probably have witnessed this in British Opens if you watch it.
Oh, hats flying off.
Just, you know, the crazy wind and the weather you get there. Even making it weirder is that it's a perfectly clear sky looking sort of day. I mean, there's some puffy clouds, but, like, whatever. You get this kind of weather at an Open somewhere in England or Ireland, and it's usually, like, really gray and raining, and you've got the wind going with that. This looks like a picturesque kind of perfect day for golf, except the wind is blowing 25 miles an hour almost constantly.
I love golf in the wind.
I hate any activity in the wind.
Biking, running, the things you actually do.
Walking to my truck.
Walking.
Golfing, yes. But in particular, when I used to run and now biking, the wind is, I don't enjoy the wind.
I just like, maybe it helps that I'm not that good. Like, if I were really good at golf, maybe I would not like the wind because it's harder.
Yeah.
But I'm not, and so I don't have, like, high expectations, really. And just, it's one more thing to compute.
Yeah.
One more thing to think about over the ball or before the, over the ball.
And we all need that.
I like that, though. I want more things to think about. I just think, you know, okay, I've got 150 yards, but what? It's wind. Is this a two-club wind,
yeah.
Gene? What kind of wind is this? And just sort of the strategy of it, I like.
I'm
not interested in dust bowls or whatever you said.
Right. They did, I don't know who that was. That Willett in a sand trap just now, the camera angle, he was at the back of the trap, and the camera was like at the front edge, it looked like. And it looked like you were viewing him through a snowstorm.
Oh, no.
The sand is just blown around so much; it's crazy.
Well,
yeah, I don't want to think too much.
You get to wear a jacket. You get to wear a stylish golf jacket.
Oh, no.
In the wind,
no.
A windbreaker.
I don't love it enough to in elements.
Last night, my son played in the elements. He had a lacrosse game.
Yeah.
I watched in the elements.
That's different.
Pretty steady rain throughout this game.
I don't love that either.
I watched in the elements.
It. My kid. If it was your kid, I wouldn't have stayed.
I had okay. I had an interesting conversation with another one of the parents last night that I wanted to run by you. So my son is a freshman. I was to drive, or my wife, she ended up doing it, but like he is not driving a car, right? So he's on a team. A lot of his teammates drive back and forth to practice and to games, but he's 14. So he is not doing that.
Right. As
far as I know. This friend of mine I was talking to, his son is a senior, and my son had a play where he just missed on a shot, and you know, we were just talking about the games, we're watching the game together. And I must have mentioned something like, you know, I got to ask him about that later. Like, what happened? There was this one play where he missed wide. And it just, maybe my angle contributed to this, but I'm like, wow, that was really wide. You know, like, what happened there?
Right.
By the way, because, you know, to defend him, he told me later, I didn't even notice it, but a guy got a stick, like, right at his elbow, right as he released the shot. So it made sense.
Yep.
But I said to my friend Howard, like, you know, I'll be interested in hearing him tell, like, asking him what happened there. And he said something like, oh, really? You're going to ask him? Like, well, of course, you know, of course I'm going to ask him about that. And he said, like, I don't want to quote him exactly, but just like the idea of asking or bringing up, quote, mistakes, you know, things that didn't go right about games.
Yeah.
With your son or daughter after the game is like, wow, you're going to really
right.
Like, well, of course I'm going to do that. But his thing was that, no, you cannot do that. Like, you cannot ask the kids, take it super seriously. I know.
Right.
But so I wasn't going to shy away from bringing up a thing that went wrong.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder if, like, you would do that.
Is this other parent, like, subscribing to the, like, just, I love watching you play, and, like, that's it? Like, there's no, because I think, quick answer, yes, I would bring it up. I brought up plenty of things with my kid. Not all the time. It would depend on, you know, what else happened in the game. You know, like
if you're giving up an overtime goal in a elimination game, you're going to give them space.
Yeah, this happened in a tournament in Lake Placid. They had a great game against a very good team, and they got tied up late and they lost. And I could see plainly what happened, and it was a misplay by him that led to the winning goal. Yeah, there was no need to
what happened there.
Yeah, like, I saw like it. Yeah. You lost sight of it, and it was on your pad, and the kid knocked it in, and you lost. Yeah, but, you know, you got to – maybe not right after, but Owen liked talking about the plays that he made or didn't make and what he would do different. Not always right after the game or on the ride home, but, like, a day or two later even, like, hey, you know, what happened on that one? What were you thinking on that play? And he was, like, very open to that. But you know, time and place matters. Like if it's running hot, like now is not the time sort of thing. But
yeah,
no, I think if you want, I mean, everyone can do it their own way. There's no, you know, there's no handbook. But yeah, I would, I never wanted to be hypercritical after anything because, you know, that's not a, that's not my role here. You've got coaches, you know, I want to support you. But you know, days later, yeah, hey, what happened there? So yeah, I'm a little, I'm a mixed bag of you and your acquaintance there. I think.
Yeah. I think maybe, I don't know for sure, but maybe he was telling me like his son wouldn't have it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like don't give me my space after loss or anything like that.
Right.
Which I also, I'm like you, if you know, I mean, I would also be like that.
Yeah. Read
I'm not going to be in his hair.
Room, right. Yeah. And you're, I would never want to be like, I can't believe you like
yeah,
that. Like I've seen people do that with their kids and just like, oh my God, what are you doing?
I've gotten,
just please stop.
I think I've gotten really good and probably you are sort of a reason for this. You know, updating me through the years on just what it's like to watch your kids play and just sort of how you have to restrain yourself, you know, plus you might think like you sort of have the added piece where, you know, it's the job too. Like you might be recognized and you don't want to sort of have a reputation for being obnoxious at games. I've gotten really good at not talking.
Yeah.
In the beginning, it was more baseball when my kids both played baseball, and that was not my natural instinct. Like my instinct was to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I would find is without even thinking about it, I'm watching sports like I am in here, and I didn't have a filter that it was kids always. So like, oh, Robbie, come on, make a play here.
Right.
You know, like I would, and I'm just naturally like a little bit loud.
Yeah.
So yeah. I know there were times when I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't really need to say that out loud.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got to a point where I would almost never, like last night, it's a new season, new people, new school. I like, if you were watching me last night, I almost never said a word.
Keep your head down, right, yeah.
In this game.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if the kid who dropped the pass is the dad is standing next to you.
Right.
Like just...
That's right. That's right. When it's new, especially, that's right. I because of the position, my son played goalie in hockey. When it got... it was actually like this all the time, really. I was almost going to differentiate when it got serious, right? When he started playing for the Regals and then, like, you know... OHL teams are interested, and now it's the USHL and NHL teams that are but from the start, I tried to, especially at the beginning of a year, I'm the goalie parent. I'm just going to be over here. I don't want you to feel like you can't be frustrated with my kid because I'm close to you. I don't want you to hear me mad because your kid didn't get it out of the zone and now we're hemmed in and now, right? So I'm just going to be over here and that's my spot. And then as the year goes on, you get to know like who's who and, you know, you can make that work a little, be a little more social, but mostly I would be on an end by myself. Just like, as I just don't want my reaction about something your kid might have done to offend you or anything. Like, I'm trying to just stay to myself, and I also don't want you to feel like, you know, you're going to say, oh, how about a save, kid? And I'm right there going, hi, how are you? Sorry, my kid blew that one. You know, whatever. So I was pretty isolated. Because of the position more, I felt. I just wanted to be alone with that. But
you know, and we were talking, my friend and I were talking about this last night at this game, and I said, buddy, you hear me on the air. I don't show up for Bill's post game like, yeah, you know, we probably shouldn't talk about that fumble for a few weeks.
Right.
Right? Like, we probably should just not make it worse by harping on that pick.
Yeah.
Do you know the story of Trey Turner last year in Philadelphia and how, so he signed this huge contract. I never knew this until like this year. He signed this huge contract with the Phillies you know, the kind of contract you can't get out
of. I remember this from last best baseball season.
Had a pretty bad first half or whatever it was, and there was someone in radio that started a movement, like, let's all just, maybe it was over one day, like, let's just all cheer him. Because we're Philadelphia, we're known for booing everybody.
Let's turn it around.
He's going to be here a long time. Maybe let's make him feel good. But what harm can that do? The guy was like,
all right.
Why not? And so that happened. And he completely turned around his season. Like, he had an amazing second half. I don't know what kind of credit he gave to that.
Right.
But I was reading Sam Miller writing about Anthony Rendon. My favorite baseball writer, Sam Miller, Pebble Hunting, and how in Anaheim, fans tried the same thing with Rendon, who's been there for years, and it's all just been completely miserable, like injuries, and he's been kind of combative, and like it's way past the point with where it was with Trey Turner, but on Reddit or something, a group of fans, like, let's just cheer Rendon tonight. And he, like, struck out and popped out, and then...
It didn't take.
It didn't take. It didn't help.
And the cheering didn't last.
Didn't last. It wasn't very many people. Even though the announcer, of course, right, works for the team, the announcer said 75% of fans were cheering, and Sam Miller, like, I was at the game. It was, like, 1 in 10.
Okay.
Right. I don't work for the Angels.
Right.
Sorry. It was, like, 1 in 10. But... yeah, I didn't know this about Turner until I read that
article.
I
didn't know this anecdote about the fans. I knew he had a very tough year and then turned it around. I must have been watching a game when it started going well, and it was pointed out how awful he'd been. And like, oh, well, you know, good thing for them because they're married.
We should have tried this with Leno.
Yeah. Well, we kind of did. No, Bronx cheering a shot on goal doesn't count.
That is not what it is. That is not
really the opposite of
that. That is the opposite. Yeah, that is obviously mocking him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that didn't help.
No.
All right, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Got an NFL draft take. We're certainly in the mood for that. A little bit of a tangent there just now, but we'll get back into the draft and talk some golf with Brian Koziol, host of Tee to Green, tomorrow morning on WGR. Masters continuing day two. It is super windy. The scores are high. You get used to this tournament, even a lot of majors where it doesn't really matter how hard they make the golf course anymore. You still see, like, yesterday, 7-under, 6-under, 6-under. But today, different.
A lot of 70s on the board today already. Yeah.
70s and up.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we'll have Brian coming up here next hour. Back after the update. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.